Get your Bibles out. Go to the book of Galatians, if you would. Trying to help you. You're not listening. I know what it is. Y'all are so holy, you don't want to get into line this morning, right? Now I'm getting in trouble. Before we go to the Word and get in this, I just want to pray. Heavenly Father, today I got to have the power of your Spirit to preach. I can't do it, Lord, in my own abilities, my own powers. I can't do it, Lord. I got to have the Holy Spirit to speak through me, Lord God. And so I pray right now, Father, that we have ears to hear, and that as we approach your Word, as we talk about liberty today, we talk about freedom, Lord, and what you've done for us and what you've promises you've given us and the goodness that you've placed upon us, Lord God, that we would rise to the call, Lord God, that we would have a stirring within our hearts and that we would see things that, Lord, we've never seen before, and it would change our lives. It would change our thinking. And so, Father, we just thank you for that today. We praise you for it, Lord. Give you all the glory for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Praise God. Galatians chapter 5. Did I say Ephesians or Galatians? Galatians chapter 5. It says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Now, I started a message 2 weeks ago because Pastor Wynn Goss was in here last week and preached. And so 2 weeks ago, I started this message on the 4th of July talking about liberty and what really is liberty and talking about America. And what we've done. And, you know, I really am blessed because I didn't get any ugly letters from the first message on the 4th, but I figured y'all gave me a slide because it was the 4th of July, fell on a Sunday. And so I'm back at it again. I just want you to understand something about myself. You know, usually, I don't know if you ever notice when I preach, I usually don't have any notes. I don't ever take much notes. I jot things down on pieces of paper and lots of stuff like that. I have 9.5 pages of notes. So can you imagine what could happen? I haven't been this inspired or stirred up in a long time over a message. I feel like every message I preach came from heaven. But I'm really stirred right now, church, and I just there's no other way to say it than just to I'm not trying to preach, I'm just trying to teach you something. I really feel like, and I'm not trying to scare people or whatever, but I feel like America is in trouble. Benjamin Franklin said that the founding of America, he said that the sun is on the horizon, but we're yet to see if it's a rising sun or a setting sun. I believe with all of my heart today that the sun is sitting back on the horizon, and we're yet to see if it's a rising sun or a setting sun. I don't know that if it's because of just my raising as a country boy living out in the country and making our living from agriculture and being around my father and watching Roy Rogers and John Wayne and I don't know what in me and why totally developed in me the attitude that I have towards Texas and towards America. I think it's the greatest country on the face of the earth. I think the only thing greater than being born in America is being born in America in Texas. I'm sorry, you know, I feel that away. It's the greatest place on the face of the earth. I've been blessed in life to travel around the world. I've been to a lot of places and a lot of different things, and I've seen a lot of different cultures, and I've looked into the laws and the understanding by trying to form churches in other countries and what goes on and seeing what takes place in other countries, and there's no place on the face of the earth like America. And I feel like we're in trouble right now. I feel like we've lost in America, what made America. And as I began to read and I began to study and I began to look at the Bible and God and what he wanted for this nation, I do believe that America has a manifest destiny, that God's hand was upon this nation, forming this nation to be a great place where people could come from every walk of life, no matter what their financial status was, no matter what their what their country they came from, no matter what language they spoke, to come into this great place, this breadbasket of the world called America, and to come in here and for us all to assimilate and to become Americans. And that we would become Americans, and not only would we become Americans, but we would all have a focus and a view and a thought that was not exactly the same, but on a general plane the same. A place where people could come and be treated equally. A place where people could come and have liberty. A place where people could come and have freedom. A place where people could come and experience what it would be like to take whatever God has placed on the inside of you, the creativity on the inside of you, whether you were wanting to be a cowboy or you're wanting to be a CEO, and to take that's on the inside of you and have a place where you could become what you wanted to be. That's what I believe America is. That's what I believe America is about. I believe, as I've studied out the scriptures and I've studied out what the founders of this country formed, that was their thought too. It was their thought too. And I believe we're losing it. I believe today that America is put down. I believe that today, coming from our own Oval Office, that we're apologizing for being Americans. We're apologizing for the way that we are. And I don't think there's anything to apologize for. Oh, we've made mistakes. Listen, we've made mistakes. We've done things that are wrong in the 200 plus years of history that we've been there. We've made mistakes, yes. Yes, there's things that need to be changed. Yes, it needed to be changed. Yes, we did wrong. But you don't throw out everything because of a few mistakes. My goodness. So, as I began to study this, the Lord began to impress upon me that liberty comes where He is. And if He's not in it, there's no liberty. No matter how you want to say, oh, we're going to have this great freedom. Well, freedom can't come without the Spirit of God. You cannot have liberty and freedom without God. Oh, come on. Let's think about this for a minute. When you were young, and you were, I don't know how your past was, but if you were like me, you know, freedom was getting away from mama. Freedom was getting away from the house. Freedom was getting out and doing whatever I wanted to do, for me calling the shots and me doing what I wanted to do. But I didn't realize that outside of a relationship with Jesus, outside of walking with God, that all I did was get myself, what I thought was liberty was really bringing me into bondage. What I thought was freedom was really just ensnaring me and trapping me, until one day I woke up and said, oh my gosh, look at me, I'm bound, I'm trapped. The alcohol that I thought was giving me liberty and freedom ended up being a bondage in my life that I couldn't get rid of. What I thought was liberty wasn't liberty. Then I gave my life to Jesus, got saved, turned my life around. Started reading the Bible, started finding out what real liberty is, started finding out what it means when the Spirit of God comes into your life and gives you the ability to make choices, because you're no longer in bondage to the things of the world. You see, in America, is wanting to take God out of the scene, is wanting to become neutral. They're thinking we can become Switzerland and be effective. And we can't. Folks, I'm not for being neutral. I'm not for trying to please everybody. I'm sorry. You probably got that figured out by now. I'm not for trying to make everybody happy, because I want to tell you something, you're not ever going to make everybody happy. Look at the person beside you and say, amen. You're never going to make everybody happy. All right? And so America has to become, again, the great nation with a people behind it who believe they have a manifest destiny, that God is upon this nation and we're to walk a certain way that's going to bring liberty to all. And I'm going to tell you something. The only way to get it is to go back to the original way it started, to come to an understanding of it, and then to try with all of our heart to walk it out. Now, when I get through preaching this message, I won't today. But when I finish this thing up, I want it, because I want to have it on tape. I'm going to have it edited. This is going to go out over the radio. I hope I make so many people mad. I hope it would be my joy It would be the joy of my life for some federal bureaucracy to call me and tell me I needed to be quiet. Woo! That would just set me on fire. That would just be some wood thrown on the fire. They'd just throw gas on that if that happened. I hope I can get somebody stirred up out there. And so I'm going to preach this because I want it on tape. I want it to go out on the world. I want them to hear it. It's going to go out over the internet. It's going to go out over everywhere. And I want them to hear it. And at the end of it, I'm going to do what I'm going to call a patriot's call. And I'm going to set aside something that I believe that you can then take home. A little outline that you can take home and you can go into your family and you can go to those around you and you can start doing everything that you possibly can do to become active and to see things change. Amen? So I went over some of this stuff, but I want to go back over it. I'm just going to touch back over these first four points and then go on. But the founders had 28 principles that they basically came up with. 28 principles that they believed in, and they said, look, can we come into agreement on this? And this is how they formed the Constitution, formed everything. And the first one was that they believed in a natural law. Now, the natural law says that God has put certain things in order, like gravity. If an apple falls from the tree, if it comes off, it's going to fall to the ground. It's not going to float up. It's not going to go sideways. It's going to fall to the ground. Laws, natural laws of gravity. There's also natural laws, okay, that God said when somebody comes to understanding things, then you get that it's called wisdom. And he said there's a wisdom. The founder said there's a wisdom that is in this world. Well, Proverbs 2 tells us that wisdom cries out in the streets. It's crying out all the time. Proverbs 1 says the same thing, that wisdom is crying out. It's always there. That wisdom is there. If you just ask God for wisdom, he will give it to you. But how many of you have ever thought you had a good idea before? And, you know, you didn't really pray about it. It wasn't really something you did. And you thought, oh, that's a good idea. And it didn't work out too good, huh? Anybody in the camp with me? Anybody ever did something and said, I wish I wouldn't have done that? One time I decided I would take a pistol of mine apart. And it was just this one little piece, and I needed to replace. And I thought, well, I can do that. There's no sense, you know, doing it. So I began to mess with it, and all of a sudden, another piece that I wasn't looking at flew out across the room and hit the wall, bang. And I said, boy, am I in trouble now? I wish I wouldn't have even touched that thing, right? See, you know what I'm saying? Things like that happen in life. You think you have wisdom, but then you enter into it, and then you say, oh, you want to back out real quick. Well, the founders believed that there was a godly wisdom, and if you ask God for it, he would give it to you. So when they had any meeting they had, they opened in prayer, and they believed God to give them wisdom. They believed that if they would start an understanding, they would get wisdom. They believed in a natural law, that when the natural law was applied by government, it would be called justice. They believed that a government could operate in a godly fashion, that there really could be justice for everyone. Now, you think about this, the natural laws of God. There's certain other things that God has in place that there's not anything you're going to do about it. Like, for instance, if you put a bunch of cows out in the field and then you do not put a bull in there, you know, you won't have any babies. It just ain't going to work. No matter how much you pray about it, no matter how much you speak over it, you can go out to those cows every day and speak forth, have babies. It just ain't going to happen. Let's use another example of natural law. You go in, you sit down at the supper, your wife has made supper, you sit down and you say something to the nature like, what? You made this again? Natural law is going to come into effect. You're going to get in trouble. It's going to happen. You sunk. You blew it. There's natural laws that are just going to happen. It's the same as if there's a situation of that could be hostile, and if you can go in there and not in anger, but in love or in peace, and peace can be shed over that whole situation. God has all kinds of things in there. But he said when people would come together under God's natural law and learn to work with God, learn to work with with nature and learn to work with the things that God has already instilled. He said when people come together in a covenant to do that, it's going to be called a commonwealth. You know how you read the Commonwealth of Virginia, the Commonwealth. You know, we don't have the Commonwealth of Texas because Texas wasn't in the original 13 colonies. We weren't around. We were pretty wild then, right? But you hear the Commonwealth. And the reason why was because people came together in covenant to agree that we're going to live together in peace and harmony. We're going to find what it takes to live together. I used an example last time about how the dust bowls of the droughts of the 40s and 50s that all the plains up there was destroyed, but then they went and figured out that, hey, wait a minute, if you do change your farming practices, if you terrace, if you learn how to row crop, if you learn how to do this right, if you learn how to work with the land, everything can change. You learn how to plant the right things at the right time. Talked about vegetables. You can't grow vegetables at any time that you choose. You have to grow vegetables in its season. There's natural laws that God's got in place, and if we learn to work with them, then you can have victory. That was the first thing the founders did. The second thing is the founders believed that there must be public virtue, that people would have to have virtue. They would have to have a standard of morality of what was right. They said America will never succeed unless the people can be virtuous. Now, there were several of the founders who said it can't happen. They won't do it. The nature of man is they're going to do evil. They can't do it. So that's why the founders pushed pastors so much to preach the gospel throughout all the land, because they knew the only thing that could get people to become virtuous is to learn what the Word of God said. And so in that day, it was called the Black Robe Regiment. It was pastors who stood in their pulpits and preached morality and preached what it would have to do to make the nation great, so that the word could get spread to every person's and every heart, so that they could learn to live and be moral people. They said, there was a statement that says, man must submerge his personal wants into the greater good of the whole. I said, the only way we're going to learn is to do what the Word of God says and do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. So we've got to live the golden rule. But if man doesn't want to live the golden rule, the only way we can do is teach him a set of morals. Teach him what's right and teach him what's wrong. Today we've got a society that we don't want to teach anybody any morals, because everybody's arguing about, well, no, you can't say anything about religion, because if you say anything about religion, then it's going to affect the other person, because that person may not believe like you do. Founders addressed that. Let me get into it. The third is that they said we've got to elect virtuous leaders. Yeah. I mean, there's a tough one. But you know what? You can't elect virtuous leaders if virtuous leaders are running for office. But today the church has got so uninvolved in politics and so uninvolved in trying to stay away from everything, said, oh gosh, we can't go there. We can't go there because they're going to get in trouble. That we've not taken people and groomed them, spiritually speaking, to go into politics to keep the nation where it needs to be. We've stayed away from it. We've not challenged people on their beliefs. We've not challenged people on their morality. We've got to. The fourth thing is that the founders believed that morality must be taught. In the Northwest Ordinance that was issued for all the Northwestern states when they were forming, they said that in the elementary schools that you had to teach morality. They actually set up three things that said in the subjects that had to be taught: religion, morality, and knowledge. It had to be taught. Religion had to be a belief system. Listen to this. A belief system concerning man's origin and the relationship to the universe and his fellow man. Said the second thing in morality is it had to be taught a standard of behavior. And then knowledge had to be an intellectual awareness and an understanding of established facts. They came together and they tried to come to an agreement, because you got to understand something, that not everybody that was, even all the signers of the Declaration of Independence, not all of them on the Constitution, not all of them were per se Christians. There was Jewish men. There were men who really weren't loyal to any denomination, we'll put it that way, or any faith. But they came together and said, we've got to come to an agreement. And they came up with 5 points. They said, if we're going to teach religion in our schools, we're going to teach the standard of morality, we've got to come up with 5 points. The first one was this, that there is a creator and he must be worshipped. Now, just think about this for a minute. The founders of this country were, this was on the forefront of what they were thinking. And what is on the forefront today? The president this year wouldn't even allow the National Day of Prayer to take place like it always had before. We wouldn't even be a nation that's praying. Folks, listen to me, the seriousness of what's going on today. In 1960, when they removed God from public schools, you can see the statistics, charts, and everything. The SAT scores begin to fall. Problems begin to rise. Crime begins to rise. Everything just goes down. Marriages begin to fall. Everything begins to fall when they said, no longer are you going to go to school and pray. Now, it's so funny. As a kid, I can remember. When I was going to school, I went to school in Sabinal, and there was an old school, okay, is where the old Baptist church, where the new Baptist church or the Baptist church in town is right now in Sabinal. And there was a, do y'all remember that school? It was almost like Gothic looking, like had gargoyles up on the top of it. I don't know when they built this thing and why they built it looking like that, but it looked like a monastery in a sense. Does anybody know it? Anybody remember that old school? A few of y'all do around here. Anyway. So I remember we got to go to the first grade room, and I can remember standing up. I don't know why this is impressed upon me, but in the first grade room, I can still remember standing up, saying the Pledge of Allegiance, and then the teacher saying a prayer. Do y'all remember things like that used to happen in school? And I never once turned around and thought, oh gosh, they're praying. I hope it didn't offend anybody. As a kid, that's just what we did. Well, then when you removed it in the 1960s, it said, no longer can you pray in there. Get the Ten Commandments out. You can't do anything. You can't influence these kids anyway about religion. Look what's happened. When you take religion out of the situation, then there's no standard of moral behavior. There's nothing to stop them from doing whatever they want to do. So the first thing they said is we've got to recognize there is a creator, and we've got to recognize that he has to be worshipped. The second thing is, it said the Creator has a moral code of behavior, and we have to learn it, we have to walk in it. The third one says the Creator holds mankind responsible for the way he treats others. The fourth one was that mankind will live beyond this life. And the fifth one was, in the next life, you're going to be judged for what you did in this life. So see, they didn't. I actually, as I studied this out, had to stop for a minute because I've always said, well, America's a Christian nation. But then as I began to look at the founders, they never set it up as a Christian nation. They never said you had to believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And that struck me odd. It hit me kind of funny, but then I realized, wait a minute, look what they're doing. They're saying there's a creator. They're saying he's got to be worshipped. They're saying that there is life after death. And that you're going to have to stand before that creator and you're going to have to give a judge for it, and there's a certain way that you're supposed to live. Then they went on and taught and said, look, you're going to have to find the moral code of behavior by studying the Holy Scriptures. I'll get to that one in a minute. Well, folks, I want to tell you something. If you worship God and you read your Bible and you look into Him and you know you believe in heaven, you're going to find Jesus. You're going to find Jesus. And so when the founders set it up, that's what they came into agreement on. Says, we're going to agree to this, that this is what needs to be. Okay? So they said, we're going to do this. Now, can you imagine this today? Can you imagine just going, they're in Austin right now, or were, arguing about what was going on in the textbooks. Are we giving ample space to different ethnic groups in the forming of the country or in the history of the country? Are we giving proper due to that and arguing all up there about that? Wait a minute, I thought we were Americans. Has everybody forgot that we're Americans? hey, I've got, you know, I don't know what it means, but I go back to German. Six generations ago, our family came over from Germany, landed on a boat in Galveston with some Merino sheep and few belongings and their kids, and they landed here. Traveled to Dehennis because the Alsatians were over in Castroville, and they had a settlement out here, and they went to Dehennis. I don't know if they wouldn't let them in Castroville, but they came to Dehennis. I have the great great grandfather that came in then. His father was knighted by the Prussian army. He was a knight. Don't mean anything to me. I mean, it's history. It's part of my family history, but I'm an American. I'm an American. I love this country. I'm fighting for America. I'm not fighting for Germany. I'm not going to go hold up and wave the German flag and say, this is what... No, no, no. That may be what my past was involved in, but I'm an American. And the founder said, Americans, we're going to have a system of belief and we're going to have some moral fiber to us. Thomas Jefferson's stance was that no church should be preferred or should have, that all should have equal rights to prosper and strengthen the moral fiber of this nation. Thomas Jefferson, when he was president, said, look, folks, it's not about not having religions. We want more. We've got to strengthen the moral fiber. They let courthouses be opened up as long as courthouses, the churches could get in agreement on the times of the services, have as many in the church, the services as they could. The lie that's been told to us is that, oh no, the founders, there's separation of church and state. There can't be. Yeah, that's right. The government was never set up to tell you what you had to believe. The government wasn't going to come down and do like they had been under the King of England, saying that you have to be part of the Church of England, and that's the way it is, and you're that away or not. The founders said, no, we want people to be free to walk in any form of religion they would like, to worship their creator however they would want to do it, and to see that we're going to stand here and say no church is going to make that happen. No church is going to come in here and influence the state and do that. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. This is what blows my mind. And like I say, maybe I pray that you're not offended. I pray you're just moved. But what blows my mind is then they pass a health care bill now and let two religions stay out of the health care bill because it's not what they wanted. The Amish and the Muslims are not involved in the health care bill. What? Talk about separation of church and state. Well, if you're not going to favor one religion or the other, then what's going on? Tell you what's going on. Nobody ever looks at the Constitution anymore. Nobody looks back at what the founding fathers set up for our nation. Nobody goes and says, no, they had it right. It's whatever it is, it's equal for all. If it doesn't fit one, it doesn't fit all. Oh, congressmen and all the people in Congress and the executive branches and all, they're not going to be involved in the health care bill. They can do their own thing. What? What happened to equal rights? What? What happened to this nation was equal rights straight across the board? What's good for the goose is good for the gander. What happened to this? There was never, ever intended in the formation of America to have any exceptionality to anything. Not churches, not people, not families, not religious groups, not anything. None of that was supposed to influence government. Government was supposed to be set and then run. I want to tell you how, I'm embarrassed to tell you this, about how ignorant I can be. I was typing up this message because I wanted it on computer because I want to be able to give you these notes afterwards. And I was typing it up and I kept, you know how you got spell check, right? And so, every time I would spell government, it came up wrong. And I was like, I know how to spell government. And it would come up wrong and I'd click it and I couldn't even tell what it was changing. And then finally I got to look at him and I said, wait a minute. I'm spelling it government. G-O-V-E-R-M-E-N-T. Y'all with me? Not G-O-V-E-R-N. Government. This always said government. Not, you know, like it's a word, like, that was invented just for that, meaning a group of people who are in Washington, government. Not government. It governed the people. It sat with authority over. It government. What the founders were worried about was the government coming to a place where it told you what you had to do. Not worried about the people telling the government what to do, the other way around. They were all, when you read the Constitution, you read everything that's set up, it was all about the founders trying to protect us from losing liberty and freedom by the government asserting authority over us that wasn't given to them by us. Y'all with me? Y'all looking at me real funny here, man. I'm telling you, freaking me out. Do you realize this? I'm preaching ahead of my notes, and y'all have to forgive me. I'll have to say it again in a minute. But do you realize, folks, that the whole principle was to empower the people to govern themselves? That was what the Constitution... Never before in the history of the world had there been set up any formation of a civilization that allowed the people to set up governing themselves. It never was there. It never was there. Let me go on. The fifth thing, I'll get into that in just a second. The fifth thing. The founders all believed in that all things were created by God, so all mankind are equally dependent and equally responsible to Him. They believed in intelligent design. They did not believe we came from a monkey. They did not believe we came up from a one-celled organism out of the ground. They did not believe in that. No way did they believe in that. They believed that God had created mankind. Okay? And that because everybody was created. Now, you got to really understand this because it makes a big difference. My friend Chris, if Chris was formed from a monkey, if we weren't sure about Chris's origin, whether he crawled out of the sea way back or he was formed way back, then if I was to eliminate Chris, what do I answer to? But if Chris was created by intelligent design and there was a God who formed Chris, as Psalms 139 says, in the belly of his mother, and he was formed by God, and that God, he belonged to God because he was his creation, and God was his creator, then if I do something against Chris, I'm doing something against God because he belongs to God. That's what the founders are trying to get into everybody, that humanity is equal and humanity is important because every person, no matter what race, creed, culture, family background, lineage you came from, you were no better off than the other person because we were all created in the image of God. Folks, the reason why, if you go talk to people who abuse another class of people, they don't believe in God. Because if they did believe in God, you cannot mistreat God's creation. Are y'all with me here? The founders had a greater idea than people have ever allowed to come to an understanding. The sixth thing was that they believed that all men were created equal. They were equal in God's eyes. They were then equal in the sight of the law, and then they were then equal in the sight of their protection of their rights. You see, folks, when you start throwing God out of it, you got nothing to go back to. You got no standard to start from. When you take God out of it, then what do you got? You got nothing. You got nothing to believe on, nothing to base yourself on, nothing to say that you're equal in God's eyes. Then you go to saying, then racism starts coming in. Then injustice starts coming in. Well, those guys, they're nothing, ain't never going to be nothing. No, no, what? Those are God's creation out there. All of a sudden, humanity takes an importance in life. Do you see what I'm saying? When he said that God created man and all men are created equal in God's eyes, well, then you cannot favor one and not the other, because you're going to have to stand before God and give an account. That's what they kept as a forefront, saying, look, you're going to have to give an account for your life to Jesus and or, you know, to God, and you're going to give an account for it, so you better, you know, better do it right. When you take all of that out of a society, when you take all of that out of a country, then what do you got? You're going to get in trouble with the court system? Bull. If you got enough money, you can hire the better attorney, you can get out of it. Happens all the time. Look at the person beside you and say, boy, he's right. Number seven is, the role of government is to protect the equal rights, not to provide equal things. That was their philosophy. It's to protect equal rights. It's to give, it's to say that all three of those young men sitting on that chair right there, all three of them are created equal in God's eyes. They have equally God has placed within them. They're intelligently designed by God, and that each one of them has the ability to accomplish whatever's within his heart, and we got to give them an opportunity to do it. But if they so chose not to do anything, okay. And if one chose to excel, okay. The government's job is to protect their freedom to excel if they want to, but also to protect their freedom if they don't. It was never to provide everything equal across the board. The thought today that keeps going out to everywhere is that we're going to have to take and we're going to have to make this a country that everybody has equal. No. We were started and founded as a country that would provide equal opportunity, equal protection, equal rights to every person, not equal things. Because all of us are different. How many in here like figs? Fig lovers of America, raise your hands high. How many of you in here don't like figs? Raise your hands. Some of y'all must not ever eat anything because you got no hands raised. You've never eaten a fig. You don't even know what. How many of you in here never know, don't even know what a fig is? Figs. I love figs. Fig preserves are my favorite preserves. I'd eat figs all the time. I'd eat them breakfast, noon, and night. I love figs. Okay. So, but not everybody does. So it's my right to eat figs if I want to eat figs. Oh, but wait a minute. No, no, you can't now. Because in the new health care bill, they've got a weight chart. And if you don't fit the weight chart, well, then you are penalized. I do not mean this ugly. Do not take this wrong, okay? But if I want to eat myself into an early grave, I'm protected by the Constitution. That's my own stupid choice. That's my choice. But you see, what happens is when they start stealing your liberty, is that if you're all under the health care plan, and we're all under government health care plan, and then we're all having to pay into the government health care plan, oh, because of your obesity or because of your bad health habits or your bad ate too much ice cream, then you're costing the pool of people more because you're not being healthy, so you're going to have to be healthy to follow into our plan. I just want y'all to know I'm not doing it. I gave up my liberty with a seatbelt. I want to tell y'all something. I don't even like seatbelts. If I want to have a wreck and fly through the windshield, that's my business. Hey, y'all are laughing. I'm serious. If you could prove to me that being in the seat's going to cost taxpayers money, I have my own insurance. I pay my own premium. I deal with my own private insurance company. They pay for it. If that private insurance company wants to say, I'll give you a better rate if you wear a seatbelt, that's something different. When the government tells me I got to wear a seatbelt, that's my business. If I want to pay more for the policy to not wear it, that's my business. If they could prove to me that not having a seatbelt on in the middle of a wreck would have caused me to control my vehicle better so that I would not hurt somebody else. But how many of you have ever been in a wreck before? You know that at the moment of you're in a wreck, you're not really thinking too much about controlling your vehicle. I doubt they could prove that. But like I said, I'm kind of ornery, and that's just the way I think. I don't want to give up my liberties. I don't want to give up my rights and my privileges, because when you get off of this track, when you get off of the track that the founders laid for us, then the train can go any direction it wants. And I don't want to be given to the dictates of man, because man's nature is evil, and man's nature will always lead you to whatever can prosper them the most, not you. The eighth one is that the founders believe that men were endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. You had to listen to this. Now, I did not write these. You had the right to personal security. You had the right to personal liberty. And you had the right to private property. That's what the three things the founders said. A quote from John Adams says, all men are born free and independent and have certain natural, essential, and unalienable rights, among which may be reckoned the right of enjoying and defending their lives and liberties, that of acquiring, possessing, and protecting property, and in fine, that of seeking and obtaining their safety and happiness. This is what was meant by life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The pursuit of happiness wasn't to go out and live a life of debauchery. To go out and live a life however you wanted to and to do whatever you wanted to. That was never intended in the founders' principles. What they were saying was that you had the right to life and liberty, and the pursuit of happiness meant that you could go out and if it made you happy to grow vegetables, then go grow vegetables. If you made you happy to be a farmer, to be a rancher, to be an electrician, to be a candlestick maker, to be whatever you wanted to be in life, whatever you could do out there in life in this great land called America, and you could go out and you could work and you could get and you could obtain, and then you had the right to protect what you had done, what you made, what you produced, and if that's what brought you joy, then so be it. Go do it. You had the right to do that. But it got twisted that a person can live anywhere and do anything and you can't say anything about us because this is the way we're going to do because this makes us happy. That's never what the founders intended. Remember, they set up a moral set of rules, ways to behave. Today, everybody screams, oh, you're violating my constitutional rights if this is what I want to do. Nothing makes sense today. Nothing makes sense today. We have a voting place in Philadelphia. We have two Black Panthers standing out in front of them with billy clubs in their hands. Well, but that's okay because, you know, they have the right to happiness. And so, you know, if that's what made them happy. And I'm just saying, what? Things don't make sense anymore. If we don't get back to the foundation, folks, I'm telling you, we're going to be in some serious trouble. The ninth principle. And don't worry, we got dinner on the grounds today. Food's over there. You don't have to go far for eating. So if I'm going a little long, y'all just love me. The ninth one was that it had to be the principle of divine law. This is what they said that a man should do to be an American. He should live honestly. Right there, you just stop and say, there's no hope. Might as well move to Guatemala and live on the orphanage. The second one was do not bring harm to anyone. And the third one was to render to everyone their due. They said in order for someone to understand this divine law, they had to study the Holy Scriptures. That mankind had two kinds of duties, a public duty and a private duty. That mankind must practice both public and private morality. The founder said, you can't just be good at home. You can't just strive to raise your family right. But you have to also have a morality in public. Because this is Robert saying this. Because the rest of us don't want to have to put up with your stupidity. Look at the person beside you and say, I just love it when Pastor speaks from his heart. He said, no, you have a duty. We have a duty as citizens of this America, this United States of America. We have a duty that we raise our families right. And this is where I'm going to get into this Patriots call. We raise our families right. And that we pray with our families. And that we teach our families and our children the morality and teach them what's right. Now listen, if you want to teach them that this is the way you serve communion or that's the way you serve communion or baptisms or whatever, then that doesn't matter. The founders just said, you've got to be doing something. You've got to teach them. You've got to be the example. You've got to be there in their lives. You've got to be active in public and say, wait a minute, is that leader that we're getting ready to put up there for, you know, for whatever it be, for county judges or commissioners or whatever on you know, town levels and state, county levels and state levels and federal levels, is that a virtuous leader? If that's not a virtuous, hey, guys, y'all realize that this year's coming up for a certain representative or whatever, and we need to make sure we got a godly person. Who's a godly person that we can put in there and start to figure out virtuous people to be active in public? And what's happened to us is we've been so beat down by as Christians, we've been so beat down by saying that, you know, we can't say anything. There's a separation of government and state, and you can't say anything. I mean, between church and state, you can't say anything. You can't do anything. Oh, who are you? You're a bunch of bigots. You're a bunch of hypocrites. You're all racist, you know, and you got to be quiet. That we haven't been active. And we've allowed the generations from the 60s until today to basically just take over and do whatever they want to do. And we said, well, you know, we're just going to have to, you know, gosh, you get involved. You just don't know. You know, it takes a lot of our time. It's what our duty is as Americans. It's not enough just to go down there and cast a vote for a political party and let somebody else all do it, because I want to tell you something. Idiots have gotten in charge. I want to tell you, because I'm just letting it rip. If I as a pastor spoke like President Obama's pastor, Jeremiah Wright, you know what scares me the most is? How did he keep that church filled up and going? I mean, y'all don't let me get away with much of anything. How did that happen? How is there 43% of the nation that still thinks that we're going in the right direction? See, you say, oh, we could still win by a margin, narrow margin. There's that many people out there that are that stupid? I think I told y'all this one, but I was visiting with a person who just lives in San Antonio, and this is back when everything was really dry, and I said, yeah, it's getting really bad out here that, the wells are starting to dry up, and he looked at me and said, you mean, why can't you just get a truck and just fill it back up? I was speechless. I didn't know what to say. I was like, how can you think that? Do you not know anything? I was getting a telephone a couple of years ago, and the person asked me where I was from, where I was going to be serviced and all this, and I said, well, I'm out here in Utopia. And they said, really? That's so far. You came all the way into town? I said, have you ever been out there? No, I've never been outside the city. You live in Santana. I said, you've never been to Garner Park. Come on. No, I've never heard of it. I was like, you poor thing. If your world is formed and all you've ever seen is right around here in town, I can't even understand that. All I'm saying to you is this divine law that the founders agreed in said that there's got to be this standard of morality, and it's got to be back in people. And church, we have to become active in public. Doesn't mean we, carry picket signs that said y'all are all going to burn in hell. That's not even wisdom. That ain't even what the founders wanted. Now, let me do one more. Can I do one more? Can I do two? When I looked at the other page, it's really a good one, the next two. I'll do two real quick. The tenth one is that you have the right to govern. And this is what I was talking about a while ago. They believe that it was a God-given right to govern is vested in the sovereign authority of the whole people. The power lies in the hands of the people to come in agreement, and the government then has to stop. Do you realize it wouldn't work with just us in this building, but that if all of the American people rose up and all the American people said, that's it, we've had enough, we will not pay taxes anymore. I'm talking about everybody at the same time. I'm talking about all, 600 million people. There's only 300 million people pay taxes anyway. So the 300 million people rose up and said, that's it, we're not going to do it. Now, don't lose me. Don't go run out and say, oh, my God, pastor's talking about anarchy. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a principle here. If they stopped, they can't put 300 million people in jail. Everything would come to a screeching halt because there'd be no funds for anything to work. The only power they have is really what we give them. The founders knew this. They said, we've got to form a country where the people have the power that they can govern, not where there is a rule that is set up by a family or a lineage or, you know, anything like that to rule, that the power belongs in the hands of the people. Which takes me to the 11th one, is people have the right to abolish governments. It's in the Constitution. It's not made up. It's not some crazy redneck thought. They couldn't do it for any simple reasons. They couldn't just get together and say, for any, you know, simple things. But the people had the right to stand up and say, no, enough's enough. And I don't know how it's going to do it. I don't know how you could do it. I'm telling you honestly. I don't know how you could do it. In my thinking, I don't know how you could organize 600 million people. You know, I can see the only way we can do it is through voting, through finding virtuous leaders, virtuous representatives, to people to go in, and that we, you know, remain with the system. It's the only way I can see at the point. But I'm telling you something, church. Listen to me. If we continue to be led down the road to the slaughter's coming, and your grandkids will not live in liberty. They'll not live in freedom. The America that you know will be gone. When I talk to like Wynne Goss, who lives in Wales and is under the British rule, and you talk to him and you listen to the things that go on in life and you listen to the way that they live, they're living. They're alive. They're raising families. People are going along. You know, I mean, it's not like they're in concentration camps. It's not like they're, you know, being annihilated. But if you talk to any of them about their system of government, none of them are happy. It's all ridiculous. Everyone lives off the state. Everyone looks at the state to live off the state. No one gets health care unless you stand in line for it. It can take 3 to 6 months, 8 months, depending on your age. Just recently in their life, they had an aunt that was older and needed some surgery, and they went in and they looked at her and said, I'm sorry, you know, you're too old. You can't have this. Denied her. So I'm talking to somebody I know. This is not just got it off the news. This is somebody I know that this is the way the system works. I mean, that's what you'll go to. No matter if you have however much money you have, unless you can go out of country to get health care, that's what you're going to have. Come a time, you know, in Russia, when children go to school, they teach them basically, you know, for 12 years. And after 12 years, the kids then are taken and they're given a test. And that test tells them what they're going to be. And so they take that person and say, okay, you're going to go over to this school now because they're going to teach you how to be an engineer. And you've got to go over here because you're going to learn about computers. And you over here, you seem to have some brains. And so you're going to be over here in the science department. You're going to learn more about science. We might use you as a research person. You over here, you know, I'm sorry, there's a job that we have over here where we teach and train people to cut wood, to bring wood to keep the fire burning for all these other people that are smarter, and you're going to have to go do that because you ain't got no brains to do it. And they sort them all out. Just like cattle in a pen, they sort them all out. Say, you're going to go here, you're going to go here, and this is what you're going to be. And you know, I cannot tell you the number. At first, I didn't understand what they were talking about. I would be over preaching in Russia or like the Ukraine, and they'd be coming to me and want me to pray for them. Well, it's really hard because I went and took the test, and you know, and they tell me I've got to go do this, and this is not really what I want to do. I want to follow what God's telling me to do, and I was like, well, then just go do it. No, you don't understand. We can't do that. And not until. You know, it took me some time to piece all this together of what it's like to live in a country with no freedom. What it's like to live in a country where you're told what you're going to earn and that's it. And there's no chance to earn more. And then the craziness of it is Wynn was just telling me he's in Poland and there's people sitting on the side of the street selling little books. Little books like this. Standing there selling these books on the side of the street of how to prosper in England. And you get the little book and you read through it and it tells them all how that you go over there and you don't have to be a citizen and you just go over there and you open a bank account and then you do a few things and then you apply for this government aid and then the government begins to give you assistance and then you leave the country for a certain period of time and then you come back and you have a baby. And you take the baby and then the baby becomes a citizen. And then this happens, and then you go back and you live in Poland because it's cheap, but the government's paying you in England because you've worked this system, because they have, it's just crazy the way the checks and balances are. And so they live over in Poland, go over there, and all the British people are paying for it, and the people who are working are paying over 60% taxes. And they say, well, this isn't right. Everybody says, the government says, shut up, this is what we do. Because they have no power. People over there don't get to vote representatives like we vote for representatives. And it doesn't work that way in their parliament. There isn't freedom. Do you know that the only, this is coming up, and that America is the only nation that has a government set up like we do? We're the only one that's ever been in history. And man, it's worked great, 200 years. And then it started to go south. And it's up to us to grab the bull by the horns, to turn it around. Amen? Amen. Stand to your feet. If I said anything that offended you, I'm not sorry for it. I just ask you to get over it. Don't let it fester up and you can write me a letter and get it all out of your heart. Can I have my prayer team come down? I think I need you. Now, we do have dinner on the grounds today, right over here. I ask you to come, fellowship, stay, make a new friend, meet somebody you didn't know. But if you would, I just want to ask you to bow your head. I just want to pray over you for just a second. Church, I just have such a heart for this country. And I want us just to pray for a minute. Father, I don't want to just ramble. I want us all to be used and to be effective. To take this great nation that you've given us and continue to do great things. And Lord, I pray right now for each and every person. Lord God, your hand is upon us. And that you lead us and you guide us and you direct us, Lord. That Father, whatever we're to do in life, whatever we're to be active in our lives and our morality, that Lord, we can walk in that. Lord, that we can be the men and women of God that you want us to be. And right now, this morning, Lord, we just submit our hearts to you and we submit our lives to you. And say, Jesus, just have your way. Just have your way. Father, I ask you to bless each and every one here today. I ask you to speak to their hearts and bless them and show them more and more and more things, Lord. I ask today, Lord God, that as we fellowship together, that Jesus, you're just with us. And that we grow to know each other. We grow to have friendships and relationships. And to just love each other and walk with each other. And Lord God, we thank you for that. And we praise you for that, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now, church, I want to go ahead and dismiss you. You can go over to dinner on the grounds. But if you are here this morning, you do need prayer. You want to pray about anything, we're up here at the front for you. So come on down and God bless you. And we'll see you over at the other hall.